We are in a series called Uphill Habits, which I believe is one of the most important ways that we can start 2019. And here's why. This is kind of the key statement in our series. It's in your notes. Somebody say, I'm getting to a point that quick in your notes. Some of y'all are like, is he ever going to get there? I'm there. Write this down in your notes. I want to do a little recap. If you've been here, you know this. Hopefully you're memorizing this. Most people have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. Would you agree? Especially starting a new year, many of us start out, we've got uphill hopes, we've got dreams, we've got visions, we've got goals, but how many know hopes and dreams will only take you so far if you don't have some strategy to get you there? Come on, somebody say uphill habits. We are putting uphill habits in our life that's going to move us forward into the uphill hopes, move us forward into all God has for our life in 2019. In fact, we've said this. I'd encourage you to keep writing this down in your notes as well. The truth is we form habits, and then our habits form us. So from toddlers, babies on, right, we form habits. Some grow, some kind of funny. Many we mature out of as we grow up. But one thing we never stop doing, even to this day, no matter what age you are right now, we continue to form and develop habits. And here's the thing about habits. We form those habits, and then what happens is those habits begin to form us within our lives, which is why it's so important that we put some life-giving, biblically principled habits that are going to move us forward into all God has for our life. Let me ask you a question. How many want 2019 to be your best year yet? Anybody? Some of y'all aren't raising your hand. You're like, no, I'm satisfied. 2018 was great. You know, I'll just stay there. I don't know, right? But 2019, and again, this is kind of a key statement, so I'm going to keep saying it every week in our series. Hopefully you're getting it. But for those of you that haven't been here, how would you fill in the blank? Don't give it away if you have. This could be your best year yet if. How would you fill in the blank? Some of y'all already know because you've been here. But if you haven't, you may say it could be my best year yet if this is a year I'm healthier, if, you know, my marriage gets better, if my spouse behaves. Don't elbow them if you're, they're sitting beside. If my kids behave, amen, parents, right? If everything goes good, if nothing bad happens, if maybe I hit the lottery this year, this would be the best year yet. If, write this down in your notes, you want 2019 to be your best year, here's how it's going to be. It's going to be your best year spiritually. This could be my best year yet if it's my best year spiritually. You want 2019 to be your best year. Some of y'all said yes, some of you didn't. If you do, then you've got to make 2019 your best year spiritually. We are all made in the image of God. Come on, we all have this spirit man inside of us that one longs to be connected to God. That's our salvation, but also longs to continue growing, moving forward in Christ, and moving forward in the purposes that he has for us on this side of eternity. And so we're putting habits in place to make this our best year spiritually. Because if it's our best year spiritually, it can be our best year yet. Said in week one, we want this to be a year that's beyond the natural. Anybody want a year beyond the natural? Like no more natural, no more looking like everybody else. What would it look like for me to have a supernatural year? God didn't call you to live a natural life. He called you to live a supernatural life. In fact, let me make it very practical. What would it look like in your family, in your workplace, with your coworkers, and in your neighborhood, in your schools, if you had your best year spiritually? What would it look like if you had a year beyond the natural? What would it look like in our church, as a church, and the mission God's called us to, if we all made a decision to start 2019 and said, this will be my best year spiritually. This will be a year beyond the natural. What kind of impact could that have on our community? And so we're setting up habits to do that, which, by the way, if you missed last week, I talked about a principle that runs from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, called the principle of first. If you missed last week, I highly, highly, highly encourage you. You can watch it on our website last week, because until you begin to understand and apply last week's principle, we call it the principle of first, you'll never have your best year spiritually. All this other stuff is good and important, but it's got to build off putting God first in our life. Amen? And so I want to dive in. Y'all with me, 9 o'clock service? Come on, y'all. I know it's early and windy, but y'all here, let's make the best of it. I want to continue by giving us a habit today. And today I want to talk about something that seems so small, but makes such a big difference in our lives and the lives of others. Something so small, but can bring giant results into your lives and also the lives of those around you. As human beings from an early age, we're drawn to power. Would you agree? Come on, we like power. I mean, even kids growing up. Why do you think kids are drawn to superhero movies, right? Or comic books? They're drawn to power. We like power. In fact, I remember Reed about age 3, 4, 5. His favorite superhero became the Incredible Hulk, you know? And in fact, he didn't call him the Incredible Hulk because the Hulk kind of did this little smash thing. He would call him Hulk Smash. And so, you know, I loved Hulk Smash. Always talked about Hulk Smash. Halloween, he wanted to be Hulk Smash. And so we went out and we got him this green little Hulk suit that had the face, you know, and the big old muscles, you know. And not only did he want to wear that for Halloween, every day he would come home, he put that on. In fact, he'd show up, he'd come down the stairs for preschool and be like, "Dad, can I wear my Hulk Smash outfit to preschool?" And I'm like, "No, buddy, you can't wear that." But he'd get home from preschool and he'd put his Hulk Smash suit on. Sometimes I'd be laying on the couch, all of a sudden he'd be diving on me like, "Hulk Smash," you know, and come to, oh, you know, right in the gut. And I remember one of my proudest dad moments, Reed said, "Hey, Dad, would you flex?" And I flexed and he said, "Dad, you're like Hulk Smash." And I said, "No, son, I am Hulk Smash," you know, right? But the reason he loved the Hulk is because he'd always tell me he's the most powerful, right? He's got the biggest muscles, right? We love things with power. In fact, we elevate those in power. We love powerful things, right? Powerful cars. We're amazed by the power of nature's storms. And listen to me, oftentimes we associate size and strength with power. Would you agree? But the Bible says, and this is amazing, that one of the smallest parts of our human body can actually bring the most power into our lives and into the life of others. Check this out, Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says the tongue. Come on, somebody say tongue. The tongue. The tongue has the power of life and death. Come on, somebody say power. Some of y'all just said power. You can't say power like that. Y'all, power! You know, I mean, you got to say it like you mean it. What kind of power does the tongue have? Check this out. The power of life and death. Come on, how many know that? That's a lot of power. Let me say it like this. This is what God is teaching us and what we need to understand today. And I'm preaching to the choir. You know this to be true in your lives. The tongue, right? We either can speak words of life or words of death. So we have two options when it comes to our words. They can be life-giving or they can be life-taking. Let me make that very practical, right, in your relationships within your life. When you talk to your spouse, there's two options. It can be life-giving or it can be life-taking. When you speak to your children, it can be life-giving or it can be life-taking. Your boss, your coworkers, your clients, right? Your teammates. They can either, your words to them can either be life-giving or they can be life-taking. How about this? The words that you speak over yourself, there's two options. They can be life-giving or they can be life-taking. We're told the power of the tongue, that's power of life and death, right? Our words, listen to me, can either move us forward into all God has for our life, or check this out, this is the power of the tongue. Your words can actually become a block into all God has for your life. Now, I'm going to talk about more about that later because that is so huge in this message, but we have an option. We can speak words of life that move us forward into all God has, or words of death that actually become a block into all God has for our life. Now, as believers, if you're a believer in here, the Bible says we're to be the salt and the light of the earth. Think about salt and light. Salt makes things better. Come on, you ever had something just so bland and then you put some salt on it and you're like, oh, I can eat this now, right? Salt makes things better. What does light do? It makes things brighter, right? So our words, listen, when I speak to people, my words should make them better. It should be salt. When I'm in environments, no matter where I'm at, in school, in work, in church, at home, my words should brighten up that environment which I am. Are y'all following me? We have power within our words. Of something so small, the Bible says, that actually brings great results for the good or the bad into our life and into the life of others. In fact, James said it like this in James 3, which, by the way, many believe James. James was the brother of Jesus. Many believe James is the best evidence for the divinity of Christ, right? I mean, think about that. What would your brother have to do to convince you he's the Son of God? Come on, right? Like, hey, bro, I'm the son of God. That's just who I am. Yeah, I'm the son. Like, no, you're not. Shut up. You're an idiot. You know, right? But James believes Jesus, that he is the son of God. Great evidence that he is. And he says this in James chapter 3, starting in verse 3. He says this: we can make a large horse. Come on, somebody say large. Go wherever we want by the means of a small bit. Somebody say small. Make something large go with a small bit in the mouth and a small rudder. Somebody say small. Makes a huge, somebody say huge, huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. So he's comparing the way these small things make a big difference. And look what he says about the tongue. He says, in the same way, so it's the same way that small bit moves that large thousands of pound horse around, is in the same way that that little rudder turns a huge ship, in the same way, it says, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. And then he gives one more example of the tongue. He says, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. What is James saying? Something so small in our body can make such a huge difference in our life, in the lives of others. Something so small can bring great results into your life, into the life of others. Come on, we're learning uphill habits. One of the best uphill habits that you can put in your life as you start 2019 is simply this: I'm going to choose to speak words of life. I'm going to speak words of life over myself. I'm going to declare God's truth over myself. And I'm only going to speak words of life over others as well. One of the dumbest sayings in the history of our planet is this: sticks and stones may break my bones. Come on, y'all know it, but some of y'all act like you don't know that. Have you lived at all? Like, you've heard, I don't know about you, I've never had a stick or stone break my bone, but I've sure had some words hurt me. Anybody else in here? Come on, our words, you've got to understand this. Your words carry way more power and way more weight than you think they do. So write this down, talking about uphill habits in your notes. If you want to change the life you have, you need to change the words you speak. If we're going to change the life we have in 2019, you may not like some things that have been going on in your life. A big step, a big uphill habit is I'm going to start to change what comes out of my mouth. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to put a habit in my life that I'm only going to speak words that build others up, that build myself up. I'm only going to speak words of life, that words of encouragement over myself and others. Small changes in the words you speak can make a big difference in the year you've had. Come on, married couples, you know this to be true, don't you? Come on, I guarantee when your marriage is going well, I know this for Brooke and I, when our marriage is, man, we're flourishing and man, it's just going good. You know what I notice? There's a lot of words of life being spoken over each other. Come on, we're lifting each other up in our words. But on the flip side, come on, married couples, you know this to be true. When Brooke and I's marriage isn't going so well and there's something going on, I can always trace it back to there's a lot of life-taking words going on. Any married couples testify, don't leave me up here like, oh, no, we only speak life-giving words in our house, you know. Never said anything wrong to my, right? Parents, as a parent, we have the opportunity as our kids, even in discipline, to speak life-giving or life-taking words. In fact, I've been reading through the book of Colossians in my daily reading, and I came across this verse in Colossians 3, verse 20. It says, children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Can I get an amen from a parent? That's what I said when I read it in my bed. I was amening just myself, private time, in the morning. Amen. In fact, I said, kids, wake up. Get down here. I got a verse for you to memorize this morning. Like, right? Time to obey your parents. By the way, I wrote this down in my notes, and this is kind of a side note from the message, but I felt like God wanted me to say it. I wrote down in my notes in my journal that day, I said, obedience releases, it doesn't restrict. That's better than you just amen. Are y'all with me first service? Y'all sleep, right? Obedience, it releases, it doesn't restrict. And this is true in any obedience. This is true in our obedience to God. This is true in our obedience to those in authority that God has put in our lives. So we see this word obedience in life, and we're like, oh God, you gotta obey it. So, no. The devil wants you to think it actually restricts you, but what it does is it releases you into God's blessing, into his favor, further into his plan, into his covering within your life. I mean, isn't that how the enemy came at Adam and Eve? Come on, when he pointed at the fruit, what did he say? He said, God just wants to restrict you. You obey God, you'll be what? You'll be restricted. He doesn't want your eyes to be open. How many know as soon as they found out after they took that bite that obedience actually released them? It was the disobedience that actually restricted them in their life. Y'all following me? And so my heart is that we would be obedient to God. We would be obedient to the authority in all levels that he puts into our life. Why? Because it actually releases us into all God has for our life. In fact, I wrote this down in my notes. I said, let my obedience to God be an example for my kids to be obedient to the authority in their own lives. Come on, isn't that a lost art in our culture today? Nobody wants to be obedient to it. I don't need to obey. No. It releases us into the blessing God has for our lives. So I was amen in that verse, but then verse 21, it says this. Fathers, come on, how many fathers in the house? This goes for mothers too. Some of y'all mothers, yeah, that's right, you listen. Do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. And I said, God, what does it mean to aggravate my children? What does it mean to discourage? And God showed me that my responsibility as a father, even when I'm disciplining my children, is not to speak life-taking words, but to speak life-giving words. That even in discipline, I'm going to build them up with my words into the man and the woman God has called them to be. So I'm going to speak, even in discipline, I'm going to speak potential over life. And it's so easy, parents, especially when you're mad, just tear them down with your words. And God says that that's not the discipline I've called you. Discipline is important, but even in discipline, why do we discipline? It's to build them up in the faith. It's to build them up and push them further into what God has for their life. Come on, somebody say our words matter. Joyce Meyer has a famous quote. It says this. It says, every word we speak can either be a brick to build or a bulldozer to destroy. Isn't that so true? Come on, every word we speak can build others up, a brick to build, to build them up in their walk with Christ, or it can be a bulldozer to destroy. In fact, Solomon, we already read one of his Proverbs, the power of the tongue, power of life and death. But if you're not familiar with Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs, Solomon is known as the wisest man to ever live. God said, I'll grant you any request. Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him this supernatural wisdom above any wisdom that anybody else had. And what I've noticed about the Proverbs is in Solomon's wisdom that he received from God, he talks a lot about the power of the tongue. I'd encourage you to look at Proverbs. So much about the tongue and the words we speak. Could it be that in the wisdom God gave Solomon, he started to realize, oh my goodness, this little thing in my body actually is a lot more powerful than I thought it was. Right, listen to what he says in Proverbs 12:18. He says, the words of the reckless pierce like what? Come on, you've experienced that, haven't you? But it says the tongue of the wise, those that speak life-giving words, it brings what? Brings healing. Remember, this is the word of God. Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue, those that build others up, those that say, I'm going to use this power of my mouth to bring life-giving words, to give life. It says it's a tree of what? It's a tree of life. But a perverse tongue, what does it do? It crushes the spirit. Come on, you've experienced this in your life. I'm preaching to the choir. Whether you believe anything I've said so far or not, you've experienced this. Come on, you've experienced life-giving words. Somebody's built you up in the faith. Somebody has spoken to your calling and the plan that God has. And it felt good, didn't it? I mean, I'll say it from time. It's like somebody speaks that into you and you're ready to like charge hell with the squirt gun, right? Like, come on, let's go. You know, I mean, it brings life. But you've also experienced the other where somebody has torn you down. And what does it do? It crushes your spirit. It almost paralyzes you in what God has for our life. Our words matter. If you haven't listened to anything yet, listen to this, because it's so important. God laid this on my heart. One of the things, and I've said this before too, and we're all guilty of it, because we live in a culture where we can just sling words around, don't we? Come on, our leaders, everybody just slinging words around. You just take it, you know, just us say it, and you shouldn't be offended. And here's what we do. We'll say, well, they should know my heart. Somebody will get offended by words you say, and our response on it, well, they should know my heart. I might have said that, but they should know my heart. Listen to me. They're not a cardiologist. They don't know your heart. But what Jesus said is out of the overflow of the heart, our mouth speaks. So the next time you want to say, well, I said that, but you should know my heart. No. The way they know your heart is by what? By the words you speak. And so if we're saying, hey, you know my heart, you know how I feel about you, we'll all speak that over your life because as Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, my mouth will speak. By the way, talking about power in your words, this is why it's so important that when we launch our spring semester emotion groups, that you join a group. You know why? You need people around you that can build you up in the faith with words and action. That can speak life into you. You need people that you're on mission with in life. As the Bible says, that we would encourage and spur one another on as we see the day, what day, Jesus coming back, approaching. You need some people that can speak with their words and move you forward into all God has for your life. Our words matter, right? Our words matter. Let me go back to this, Aaron. I kind of skipped this, but write this point down in your notes. I want to talk about how we speak words of life. Some practical ways. Come on, we're looking at habits. Practical ways of how we speak words of life. How we're a person that is a person that with the power of our tongue, we build others up. We speak encouragement. We speak life into people. Write this down in your notes. We're going to be wise about what I allow in. I'm going to be wise about what I allow in. It is important for what you allow in. Remember, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart is what? The mouth speaks. So I've got to be wise. By the way, one of the reasons we start a year with 21 days of prayer and fasting is prayer connects us to God, but how many know fasting disconnects us from the things that we've got too connected to the world? See, one of the great lies of the enemy is this. Listen to me. I'm secure in faith, so I can watch anything I want, listen to anything I want. I'll just surround myself with whatever people I want that speak into my life, and I'm secure. The problem with that is out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is important what I'm putting in here, because according to Jesus, what I'm putting in here is going to come out through here. Are y'all following me? So if I'm going to speak life-giving words, if I'm going to be a person that uses the power of my tongue to encourage and to build people up in the faith, it's important what I'm putting in here, what I'm allowing into my life. In fact, Proverbs 21, 1 through 2 says this. It says, again, this is Solomon. He says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands where? Within you. So if I dive into the Word of God and I store up His Word and His promises and His truth, if I store that up within, turning my ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, skip to verse 10, it says wisdom will enter where? There it is. Wisdom will enter where? I always know it's not up there when y'all like, Jesus. I don't know, right? It sounds like a good answer. Right? Wisdom will enter my heart. Now, check this out. Jesus said, out of the overflow of my heart, the mouth speaks. So if I fill up on wisdom, guess what comes out of my mouth? Simple answer, wisdom. Let me speak to young leaders real quick. So many people in our culture, not just in the church era, I want to be elevated. I want to go to the next level. I want to get stepped. I want to get to this position. If that's true, it is so important what you're putting here. Because out of here, the mouth is going to speak. And I'm telling you, people are going to judge whether you're ready for the next level, whether you're ready for leadership, by what comes out of here. When you fill up with God's word, wisdom enters your heart. And I don't care what age you are, guess what comes out of your mouth? Wisdom leads leaders above you to go, that person can be elevated and leadership can go the next level. Are y'all following me? We've got to be wise in what we put in our heart. Secondly, write this down. If I'm going to speak words of life, I need to seek God for one word. Everybody say one word. That will direct and define my year. I'm going to seek God for one word. By the way, that word needs to come with a verse. So I'm going to ask God for a word, and that's going to come from His word out of a verse. Because, you know, some of y'all are like, man, I'm a, you know, bacon's my word this year. I'm going to eat a lot of bacon. That's awesome. I'm with you. But I haven't yet seen, well, maybe there is something. There's got to be something about bacon in the Bible. But one word that you're going to ask God, God, what is that word? What is that verse that word comes out of that's going to direct and define my year? By the way, this is a very biblical principle. David said the one thing. Everybody say one thing. He said, the one thing I want is to dwell in the presence of God forever. David's one word that directed and defined everything he did was what? Dwell. Paul said, the one thing, I'm going to forget the past, and the one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to press on. I'm going to move forward. Paul's word was either press on, he's Paul, he gets two, so, all right, or forward, right? I'm going to keep moving forward. That defined the trajectory of Paul's life. So I'm going to ask God, God, what is that word that you're giving me to direct and define my year this year? Give me that verse. Let me give you a practical example. For Brooke and I, we always pray over ourselves, but we also pray over our church. God, give us a word that's going to direct and define our year this year as a church. And as we prayed throughout the month of November and December, as we got close to 2019, and I've shared this a few times now, the word that God laid on our heart for our church as a whole, but also he laid it on our hearts for our life and our family, is the word advancement. That this will be a year, 2019 is going to be a year of advancement. Here's the verse he gave us as well, Matthew 16, 18. Y'all know the context of this. Jesus comes to the disciples. He says, who are people saying I am? They say prophet, you know, John the Baptist, Elijah. And then he turns the question on them. And by the way, it's the most important question you and I answer on this side of eternity. He says, well, who do you say I am? Peter steps up, says, the Christ, the Messiah, you are God, the way, the truth, the life. And here's Jesus' response. He says this. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, so on that statement that I'm the Christ, I will build my church and the gates. Everybody say gates. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, I love that Jesus said gates. You know why? Gates indicate advancement. Like, you can't get to the enemy's gates without taking territory first. Are y'all following me? Like, we don't just kind of sit back and get complacent in our faith and as a church and just kind of, you know, do our Sunday thing and come on, enemy, if you want to come, we'll be what? No. Jesus said the church is to be on the offense. Well, we're to charge the gates of hell, taking territory, always moving forward, advancing in the mission, in the purposes. Are y'all following me? And so this is one word that's going to direct and define our year. For me, I want to advance. I want to move forward in being a godly father. I just don't want to stay where I am. I want to move forward in being a godly husband as a leader. I don't want to get complacent in 2019. I don't want to just stay where I'm. I know God's got more, and so I want to advance and move forward into all God has for my life. So here's why this is so important, and I want you to hear this. When God gives you a word with a verse, so you seek God and he lays a word on your heart, you're going to commit to only speak in alignment with that word over your life. So important. Because here's what often we do, and the enemy is so clever. God gives us a word. He gives us a vision. You get a God-sized dream. He fills you with some hopes for this year, and you're like, yeah, let's go. And then things happen, and check this out. Come on, we're talking about power of our words. The words that end up coming out of our mouth actually contradict the word he laid on our heart. The words actually become a barrier for what God gave us or where we were going in 2019. So my words, advancement. The devil has already been working on me on this, and God convicted me as I was writing this message. The year of advancement for our church, you know how easy it is for me that we have a Sunday, maybe attendance are down and some things happen or just in work or something happens during the week, somebody leaves the church or whatever. I find myself all of a sudden, oh, you know, this today is just not happening. We're just going backwards, or this was messed up, or that person left. Or that. And all of a sudden, what am I doing? I'm speaking against the word God put on my heart for 29. Are y'all following me? And now my words have become a barrier to what God wanted to do. So here's the commitment that as God gives me a word with a verse, I'm going to begin to speak words in alignment, even if the situation doesn't look like that word. Even if things aren't happening in the timing, I'm going to speak in agreement with that word. Here's what the Bible says. I'm going to prophesy that over my life and over the church. So you come in here and you see some empty seats and you're like, yeah, year of advancement. No. We're not going to say that. We're going to speak in alignment with the word God gave us. We're going to prophesy it over our lives, over our church, until it happens. I'm going to speak in alignment. I'm not going to allow my words to come against what God wants to do within my year. Let me say it like this. Say this. If you write this down. This isn't in your notes, so I encourage you to write it down. If you want to see it, say it. Come on. If you want to see it, you need to begin to say it. So when God gives you a word, I'm going to begin to declare that over my life. I'm going to begin to speak that over my life. I think so often we underestimate the power and the authority Jesus has given us in his words. Would you agree? God has given us authority in Jesus' name as children of God in our words to speak. In fact, listen to what Matthew 16, 19 says. This is Jesus himself. He says, I will give you, talking to us, the church, the keys of the kingdom in heaven. What does that mean? That means he's giving us his authority. We have his authority as his children, as heirs to his kingdom. He lives in us. You're going to have my authority. Listen, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So Jesus is telling us, I'm giving you authority, power to bind or loose. Those two words literally mean this, that if I bind something, it means I forbid it. If I loose something, it means I permit it. So Jesus is saying with our words, he's giving us authority and power to bind, right, to forbid, or to loose, to permit in our lives. Come on, you know this to be true. Let's say somebody is held captive by sin. We begin to speak freedom of Christ. We begin to preach the gospel. We share the good news with our words, and that bondage of sin is what? Is broken in their life. Let's say somebody is oppressed by a demon. The Bible talks a lot about that. What do? We call that out in Jesus' name. We forbid it. We bind it up in Jesus' name with our what? With our words. Come on, trying to show you there's power in our words. We have authority in our words. So when I look at my life, when I look at the word God put over, the hopes, the dreams, the visions God's given me, anything that comes against it, I'm going to bind it. I'm going to forbid it with my words in my life. Or anything that comes in alignment with that hope, that dream, that word, that vision, I'm going to speak, I'm going to loosen that over my life. I'm going to permit it in my life. Are y'all following me? There's power in our words. Power in our words. Write this down. I'll move quick through these last two. We're going to only speak words that move myself and others forward in Christ. I'm only going to speak words that move myself and others forward in Christ. Come on, we're talking about how we can make a small change to the words we speak that come out of here that can make a big difference in our life, in the lives of others. Let me make this real practical. It's kind of a sub-point. I'd encourage you to write it down if you're taking notes. If you can't say something helpful, come on, say that together. Skip it. Come on, y'all remember Grandma used to say? She used to say, if you can't say something nice, come on, follow it. Don't say it at all. This is kind of an updated version. If you can't say something helpful, what are we going to do? We're going to skip it. Three of you got that. Ephesians 4:29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Some of y'all need to confess and repent of that already this morning. Y'all remember that car ride to church? But only what is, listen, helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those that would listen. Keep that verse up. What would our relationships look like in 2019 if we just applied this one verse? Think about that. What would our relationship, what would our church look like? What would our groups look like if we just simply applied Ephesians 4:29, that the only words that I'm going to allow out of here are going to be words that build others up in the faith. In fact, here's the way the King James Version says it. It says, if thou can't say us something helpful, shut thy trap it. I'm just kidding. That's not there. Some of y'all got the King James. Like, that's not what mine says. It does. Listen, this is so important. I want to say this. Some of y'all finally laughed at my joke. If I could just go to the King James Version every week, that would... Listen, how many know the devil's agenda in your life, in your relationships, is destruction? You know that, right? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his agenda in your life. Whether you recognize it or not, that's what he desires to do in your life and everyone in your life. That's his agenda. Listen to me. His strategy, then, is division. Somebody say division. Why? Because a house divided cannot stand. That applies to your house of home. It applies to your marriage. We see it all the time. That applies to the church. A house divided cannot move forward, cannot stand. So the enemy's agenda is destruction. His strategy to destroy is division. Now listen to this. His tactic to bring division that brings destruction is something we call gossip. Somebody say gossip. Come on. He wants to divide. Why? So he can destroy. And the tactic he'll use is gossip. This is important. I know we're running out of time, but you need to hear this. Because I think more of this happens in the church probably than any other relationships within our life. Would you agree? The enemy loves division. There's no better way to begin to divide you and your spouse, your home, begin to divide the church. Come on. How many know there has been hundreds of churches taken down by gossip in the church? Why? Because gossip leads to division. A house divided cannot stand. And division leads to destruction, right? He wants to destroy. And so here's what we do. We begin to talk about each other. We talk about leadership. And all of a sudden, the enemy goes, okay, I got you gossiping. Here comes the division. Next comes the destruction. By the way, even if you try to cover it up and make yourself feel better, like, We should pray for that person. I'm going to pray over them. We've already talked about them. Listen, that's still gossip, and gossip only comes from one place, the pit of hell. So basically, when you gossip, what you're doing is you're partnering with the enemy to bring division and to bring destruction. And that's weight you're going to bear. You know that, right? So you divide relationships, you divide divide a house of God because you started gossip. You've now partnered with the enemy to bring division and to bring destruction into every life effect. I don't know about you. I don't want to be accountable for that. Anybody else? Right? And this is important because you will never fit gossip in with Ephesians 4:29. That I'm going to speak words that build each other. You're not building people up. What are you doing? You're tearing them down. And you're not just tearing them down. You're trying to tear everybody else down that they've surrounded their lives with or that's within that house or within that church, right? So if I can't say something helpful, I'm going to skip it. One of the best things you can do is before that word comes out of your mouth, come on, you're in a group, you're with your friends, you're with somebody, your spouse, and you're about to just tear somebody down or, you know, oh, can you believe they said this or did that or can you believe they made that decision? I'm going to think before I say it, is it helpful? Is it going to build them up? Is it going to build the house up? Is it going to build the church up? If not, what am I going to do? I'm going to skip it. Man, if you would just apply that to your life. On the flip side of that, if you think something good, come on, say this. Say it. Come on, if you think something good, come on, say it. Y'all know what gives an encouraging thought life? When we speak it. You know what gives an encouraging thought legs? When you say it. Oftentimes, just like we think people know our hearts, we think people know our minds, but they're not a neurologist. They don't know what's going up in here. Well, they should know how I think about them. They should know the thoughts I have. No, they don't know. And what oftentimes happens is we have something we could speak encouraging over somebody. We have that thought, but we keep it here. We never say it. And what we do is we rob that person of the blessing of an encouraging word. So when I think something good, what am I going to do? I'm going to say it. In fact, if Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily. How often? How often? Daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Listen to me. How many know the enemy is a deceiver? He's a counterfeit artist. Check this out. The Bible tells us that one of the ways we fight against the lies and the deceitfulness of Satan in our relationships is by speaking words of encouragement. One of the ways we keep Satan's lies and deceitfulness out of your marriage, out of your homes, out of our church, the way we go to battle against that is we do what? We encourage one another daily. That if I think something good about you, oh, they know what I think about them. They should know. They know my heart. No. I'm not going to rob you of the blessing by not saying it. I'm going to speak that over your life. Are y'all following me? Is this helpful for anybody? Come on, we're going to be a church. We're going to be people that understand the power of our words, and we're going to begin to speak those over our life. And then lastly, we'll close with this, teaching you how to begin to speak words of life, to understand the power of our tongue. Write this down. Memorize scripture and speak it over myself and others. If I'm going to be a person that speaks words of life, it's going to be because I dive into the Word of God and I just don't get through it. No. I'm memorizing Scripture. It's taking place in here. Why? Because I'm going to begin to declare God's promises. I'm going to declare His Word over my life and the life of others. That's kind of a setup for next week. Next week, I'm going to teach you how to be armed for battle. How many know the war's been won, but we still face battles in life? And the Bible gives us everything we need to find victory over the battles, to be armed. And I'm going to talk to you about the Word of God and how powerful it is within our life. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do, very practical this week. I want to encourage you, would you begin to dive into the Bible, make it a priority. Talked a lot about that and putting God first last week. Would you dive into His Word, begin to learn His Word, begin to learn His promises. In fact, let me say it like this. Anything that you or someone you know, whatever they're going through, there's a promise in the Word of God for that situation. Dive into it. Learn it. Why? Because I'm going to start to learn that, and I'm going to speak it over my life. I'm going to speak it over my family. I'm going to speak it over my kids, over my marriage. I'm going to speak it over my workplace and over my school. There's power in the Word of God. How many know that to be true? I'm going to learn it. I'm going to memorize it. And when the enemy tries to come at me with lies and tries to show me otherwise, No, I'm going to speak the Word of God. There was about, and then I'll close with this and we'll make a declaration, but there was probably about a year ago, year and a half ago, no, maybe 2 years ago, I remember I started having extreme anxiety. And when I say anxiety, I mean like wake you up at 3 or 4 in the morning anxiety. Anybody ever, can you relate? You relate and willing to admit it? When it came to finances. It was a time where the first couple years in our church, I was still on the Bridge Church, so we came out as payroll. So I just knew I was getting a paycheck. Like it was happening every couple weeks. And it got to a point where they said, hey, we've got to cut you off and the church has got to take ownership. And I remember looking at our numbers at the church going, this is not going to happen. And so I said, I got to get some jobs. And we worked a couple side jobs. And then I remember God spoke to Brooke and I, and he said, hey, I don't want you doing any more side work. You need to trust me. That we're gonna the people that I'm gonna provide through the people, you need to focus all your time on what I've called you to do. And I remember going, oh my gosh. And so I remember when that happened, I was all faith, yeah, man, we're gonna do it. But I started getting woken up at like 3:30 in the morning, and I remember I'd wake up full of anxiety, going, oh my gosh, we're not gonna make it. I've got, you know, I think at that time we had 3 kids. I got 3 kids, didn't even know a fourth was on the way yet. 3 kids, what are we going to do? We're not going to be able to afford our house. We're not going to be able to afford them. I'm thinking, like, in my mind, I got, like, visions of us walking on the street homeless. Come on, how many know the enemy will take it to, like, all new levels? And had anxiety. And then this happened again when we brought Pastor Cam on full time. Because I looked at the numbers, and God had spoken and said, you need to do that. You need to take the step of faith. You need to bring him on full time. And I remember going, oh, my gosh. I remember talking to our trustees. We're like, that is not there. I'm not sure how that's going to happen. And I remember the same thing started happening. I'd wake up at about 3:30 in the morning just full of anxiety. Oh, my gosh. Did we pull the string? Did we really hear from God? Did he just quit all his other jobs and focus on this, and we're not going to be able to pay him? And what's going to happen? And what began to happen in my life at those times is, instead of just sitting there letting these thoughts and anxiety fill my mind, I remember God saying, what does my word say? What does my word say? And so literally, I pulled out a blank sheet of paper. Some I had memorized. I just jotted down every promise in the Bible when it came to finances and resources. I flipped to the back of my Bible and looked at finances and resources. And man, I went through every verse. And the ones God spoke to me, I'd jot down the promise. And as I jotted those down, I would pray those and I would declare those. And what started to happen is, when I'd wake up at that time and start to feel anxiety, you know how I battled that? I'd begin to speak those over. I'd begin to pray those and declare those and claim those over my life. And I'm telling you, what would happen is the anxiety would turn into worship, and the worship would turn into, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know how. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know through who. But it's going to happen. And I'm telling you, every single week, it's happened. God is faithful to his promises, but you need to know the scripture. You need to know his promises, that when the enemy starts to attack you in those areas, you fight that by declaring the word of God and his truth over that in your life and the life of others. Amen. Watch you stand up. We're going to make one declaration together, and then we're going to close. Come on, we declared last week that this is a series of making some declarations over our life as we start 2019. Last week, we declared that God's going to be first in every single area of our life. We're going to make another declaration off this message. I believe there's power in our words, power in declaring, power in speaking this over our life in our church. Come on, would you say this with me? I will choose to only speak. Come on, say it. Life-giving words to myself and others, that we may together move forward in Christ, in community, and in calling. Come on, are you willing to make that declaration today? That today, through the help of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, 2019, come on, put that declaration back up there. 2019 is going to be a year where I'm going to choose, moving forward from now, that I'm only going to speak life-giving words to myself, to others, that's going to move us together forward in Christ, in community, and in calling. What would it look like if we became a church? What would our groups look like, our homes, our relationships, if we made a decision that we're going to only speak words that build up the faith, that build people up, that speak life into other people and speak life over myself? Come on, talk about a habit that can take us to the uphill hopes and dreams God has for our life. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? God, I thank you, Lord, that you give us grace. God, none of us are perfect in our words. God, we all make mistakes. God, we all say things we don't mean. We've hurt people. We've been hurt. God, thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would convict, and we know you convict because you have more for us. If any of us have maybe been speaking words that have been tearing people down or tearing ourselves down or had become a barrier in our life, God, we repent of that this morning. And through your power, through your help, God, we declare we're gonna speak life-giving words. We're never gonna get caught up in gossip, God. In fact, if we're around somebody that starts to gossip or speaks poorly of leadership or authority, God, we're gonna stop that because we're not gonna be part of that. God, we're making this confession, this declaration to you, God, that we are going to be a church that understands there's the power of life and death. We're not going to fit into our culture that we just throw words wherever we want and people just got to take it. Lord, no. We're going to understand we are accountable to you for the words we say. Thank you for your grace that covers every negative word. But God, thank you for your power and your strength that moves us forward to build people up and move people forward in the faith through our words. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted the Word. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word. He is the model of life-giving words. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, come on, we're talking about power words, that the way we do that is we confess with our mouth. We speak it. We say it. What we're believing in our heart. We say with our mouth, we believe Jesus died on a cross for our sin. We say with our mouth, we believe he rose from the dead. We say with our mouth, we confess that he is Lord, meaning I'm giving all my life to him. My life is his, and the Bible says you will be saved. Entering a personal relationship with him right now, but also saved for all eternity, spending eternity with him forever. Maybe you've never made that decision. You've never spoke it with your mouth. I want to give you an opportunity to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm going to ask our church emotion to say this out loud after me on behalf of those that are praying it for the first time or maybe even coming back to God this morning. You're making a fresh start. Say something like this. Heavenly Father, I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on a cross for all my sin and that he rose from the dead to bring me life. And so I repent of my sin and I turn to you, Jesus. I give you my life. I receive your forgiveness. From this day forward, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, we want to take a few seconds and celebrate it this morning. Here's why. All of heaven is throwing a party for the decision that you just made now. Secondly, we're going to ask you to raise your hand in a minute. I want to see you because I'm committed to pray for you this week. And then third, and why we do the hand raise, I just say this every week, but I believe the devil's been way too bold with you in your life for far too long. And so when you raise your hand, you're shoving it back in the enemy's face and saying, no more, I'm a new person in Christ. Everything changes today. So on the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3. Would you just shoot your hand up and say, that's me. Come on, church, celebrate some fresh starts. Come on, praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Well, hey, if you were the ones that raised your hand, there may be a team member that connects with you. We've got a gift. We want to give you a high five, a hug, and also show you some next steps to take to continue to move forward on the journey that God has you on your life. At this time, we're going to respond by the bringing of our tithes and the giving of our offerings. And I want to share this as you get ready, and we're going to respond like we do through worship to the Word. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what would you have me take away and apply to my message, that it goes into my home and workplace and school? But we also worship as we put God first by the bringing of our tithes and giving of our offerings. And somebody shared with me, in fact, a staff member shared this with me, I think it was at this past staff meeting or the one before. There's a guy in our church that every time he gives his tithes and even offerings, he puts a smiley face on his envelope. And I said, oh, that's awesome. Why does he do that? And she said, because he believes we're to give with a cheerful heart. And I said, man, how awesome is that? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. That we don't give like, oh, yeah. No. We're like, God, I'm so thankful that I can put you first in my life. That's the only place that you deserve. I'm so thankful I've got something to give. Jesus, I'm so thankful I can invest in eternity. I can invest in generations to come. God, I'm so thankful that today I can literally store up treasures in heaven that will be celebrated for all eternity. So as we give, we're also going to worship and we're going to celebrate Jesus. God, thank you so much for who you are, for what you're doing. God, thank you for this word. Thank you for the reminder that every one of us, myself included, needed. God, that we have power in our words. Let us be people that make things better, that make things brighter by the words that come out of our mouth. Multiply what's given in this place to see your kingdom expanded in our city, in our nation, and around the world. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
And I will worship you. I will worship you. I worship you always. And I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship you always. Oh, we sing. And I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship you always. Yes, I will. And I will worship you. I will worship you.